If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. I love our church, been in our church for quite a while, and it's a privilege to see some of the young people that aren't so young anymore. Sometimes my wife and I would speak, and we would say, man, you know, I remember this, that, and she said, you know, hon, we're not young anymore. You know, sometimes when you get older, you're stuck on that 35-year-old, you know, part. I remember when I, after I turned 30, I was still telling people I was 30 because I just didn't think I was older than 30. I'm almost at that 40-year mark, and Pastor said, don't trust anybody under 40, so you can trust me here in a couple months, so I'll be 40, amen? I tell Pastor, I said, Pastor, you know, every time I get older, you always, that number always goes up. He said, yeah, because I don't trust you. Genesis chapter 3, again, I love our church. I love the emphasis that our church has. One thing that I enjoy about our church and the groundwork that Pastor has put out is the next generation. Amen. The family. Probably the two subjects that I like to speak on the most is finances and the family. You say, why finances? I don't know. The Bible speaks about it a lot. I like talking about finances, and I like to study it, and I love to study. I like to listen to messages on the family. It is no secret. I want a great family. My desire is that my children serve the Lord in some capacity or form, whether, you know, my heart's desire is that they become a full-time Christian ministry workers. I know that's not for everybody. I know maybe God's not going to call all my children, but that's my desire. My desire is that I serve the Lord with my family until I kick the can. And if you're not Khmer, that means die. If you're Khmer, that's an actual game. I love our pastor because he emphasized the family. I learned from a very young age about the family. I learned about being a husband before I was married. I learned about being a dad before I was married. And he said, Nate, you want to learn about these things before you get into that situation. So when the situation comes, you're prepared for it. See, the mistake is a lot of people, they don't go and find the resources and get the help until they're in that situation. And sometimes it might be too late. Yep. Young people, I want to encourage you, listen tonight. Listen to this message. This message is not nothing bombastic. Oh, hopefully we got handouts. Is that right? We got handouts? Okay. Obama sent it out, so I'm giving it to you. But hopefully you listen. Ladies, listen. And this is something that can help us as a family here at Pacific Baptist Church. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of that which I've commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed be the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. By the way, this is the first sacrifice in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where God had to sacrifice an animal, kill an animal, shed its blood, and use that covering to cover Adam and Eve's shame. It was a likeness, that was going to happen, a picture of what Christ was going to do for us. See, they wanted to cover themselves up with their own fig tree and with their own works. But God said, you know what? Somebody else has to pay the penalty for your shame. I thank God Jesus Christ saved me from my sin, 1990, July 5th, I believe it was. And the Bible says in verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, listen, he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. God said, you know what? I don't want these people. I love them so much. I don't want them to live in their sin like this. So he chased them out. Therefore, the Lord sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. If you have your hand out there, you should see it there, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any man or any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The Bible says an infidel could be a child, or an infidel could be an unsaved person. Basically, if you don't provide for your own family, you're not that good. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your word, how it empowers, how it changes us, how it gives us life, Lord. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We just pray, Lord, that you help us to be instructed today from your word on how to better our family and how to be better husbands today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to speak about the biblical role of a husband. And ladies, you could probably, just kind of relax a little bit. I'm not going to talk a lot about the wife, but I am going to challenge the young men, and I am going to challenge the husbands today to be a biblical husband. You know, in 1 Timothy 5:8, God established a relationship between us spiritually and us practically. The Bible says here that if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his house, he is denied the faith. That's spiritual. And it's worse than an infidel. That's practical. He's saying that you are only as spiritual as you are practical. Likewise, you are only as practical as you are spiritual. God wants us as Christian people to be spiritual, but he also wants us to be practical. God clearly states that a man should provide for his own house. If he doesn't, he's like a person that denies the Lord. See, man is made up of three parts: the body, the soul, and the spirit. The body is our physical. The soul is our emotional. The spirit is that which represents our relationship with the Lord. A husband is responsible for all three in the structure of the family. He is to provide physically, emotionally, and spiritually for his family. It's not enough just to provide physically. By the way, our men, I love the men of our church. You work hard. We don't have any millionaires here. We are blue-collar workers, just, you know, working a warehouse job. You know, nobody is a millionaire here. Everybody's just good old Joe that works hard. It's not enough that we provide physically for our families, husbands. A husband must provide also emotionally and spiritually. See, husbands are important to the structure of the family. By the way, the husband is probably the most important figure in the family. Don't let culture tell you something different. No, I'm not saying the husband is better than the wife. I'm not saying the husband is anything mighty or needs to be have his wife come down and worship him or anything like that. I'm talking about a husband in God's line chain of command. The husband is the most important person in the line in the chain of command in the family. By the way, husbands, how are you performing? Dad, how are you as a dad? Husband, how is the spiritual, how's your spiritual leadership? Wives, how are you supporting your husband? You have come, you've been called to be a helpmeet to your husband and not a career person. I know that's something that's a little bit frowned upon now. The wife is supposed to be a helpmeet. Now, if your husband wants you to go to work, you're being a helpmeet. If your husband wants you to stay home, you're being a helpmeet. But you're not there to build your own career. You're there to build him. Ouch. Amen. Amen. Let's get that amen. I feel a little bit lonely up here. But do you know the biblical characteristics of a husband? Dad, today I'm just going to give you a list of some things, some characteristics of a biblical husband. If you have your hand out there, number one, a husband was created for the garden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Man's job was to keep and take care of the garden. It wasn't his punishment. God created man to work. It's not normal for a man to sit around at home to do nothing. By the way, I am glad I grew up learning how to work. I remember working for the church, and Pastor said, Nate, one summer I wanted to get a summer job, and he ripped my face up, down, sideways, and he said, why do you want a job? Well, I want some money in my pocket. He said, for what? So you can buy new shoes, so you can buy do this, so you can buy that, so you can look good. I said, well, okay, kind of. I see. He got on me. He said, that's the worst thing for you. By the way, teenagers, a job is the worst thing for you. Unless you work in an environment where it is godly. And most jobs out there aren't in an environment that's godly. You don't need a job right now. I didn't say you don't need to learn how to work. You need to learn how to work. I appreciate the Raw Boys. They know how to work. But they're not out there. They're working with their dad. That's a good environment. Well, let me take that back. That's a good environment. See, work is not a curse. Work is a blessing. Work is something that God had created man for. See, work was there. Adam worked before the fall. It wasn't because of sin man had to work. No, God made us. There's something inside of us that if when we accomplish something, we go work, and when we're done, man, that was good. That was good. Every man should have a job, even if it's a minimum wage job. Let me say that again. Every man should have a job. Even if it's a minimum wage job. You say, oh man, I get this benefit. I am surprised sometimes these people that know all the benefits and know all the shortcuts and everything, how to get free money. I'm thinking, man, if you studied your profession about work, you would be a millionaire. Yeah, they don't even have to work. They know all the free handouts. Every man should have a job. Every man should not sit at home on your blessed assurance watching Jerry Springer. I don't know if Jerry Springer's on anymore. Brother Albert, is that still on? You need to get out of the house and work. Work. You say, I can't find a job. Go mow lawns. Go clean pools. Go do something. There's always something. Man, go sell Hot Wheels. I heard there's a market for that. There's always something to do. If you don't get paid, do something. Because if you don't work, God, you are not fulfilling what God has for you. You would be, you're just going to be a miserable, just a miserable man. If he needs to, go mow lawns, go clean pools, go wash cars, do something. Stay busy. David sinned. You know why he sinned with Bathsheba? Because he was supposed to be doing his job, but he was sitting at home on the rooftop of his house doing nothing. The Bible says he woke up at evening time. That is awesome to sleep all the way to the evening. I've never done that before, other than when I was sick, and I get sick often. Number two, the man should provide for the physical needs of his family. Let me say this again. This is done by work. This is done by working. Number three, a husband is to provide the spiritual needs for his family. I love my wife. She is a godly woman. But my wife is not leading my children spiritually. She can. She helps. She prays with the kids. But men, you are supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Husbands, be the spiritual leader that God wants you to be. Amen. Husband, know your Bible. You know, kids ask the weirdest questions. My daughter the other day asked some kind of crazy theological question. She is 5 years old. She asked my wife, Mom, before Jesus died on the cross, how did people get saved? My wife texted me. I'm like, what in the world? Why is she asking questions like that? So I got out my thesaurus, my Henry Webster dictionary, my Henry a commentary, my Webster dictionary. I sat down. I said, Esther, we're going to talk about this. Learn the theist. We're going to go through the dispensationalism and everything. I was like, no. You know what he told her? Before Christ was came to this earth, people looked to the cross to get saved. Now that he's already come, we look back from what Jesus did. Before they looked forward, they had faith in what Christ is going to do. Now we look back on what Christ has already done. But that was a question a five-year-old asked. Where did she get that question from? I don't know. But know your Bible. Walk with God. Get biblical answers to your family. When your family asks you something, oh, I don't know. By the way, if you don't know, you don't have to know everything. Get the answer and let them know. Amen. It's your responsibility, Dad. Don't just shake it off. Number four, the husband is to provide the emotional needs of the family. The husband is to provide the emotional needs of the family. Many wives are dissatisfied because their husbands do not provide for each and every one of these needs. By the way, husbands, if you don't provide the emotional need for your wife, some other man will. That's the truth of the matter. Some husbands start earning money, and then what they do? What do? They start buying their wife expensive gifts. By the way, I'm pretty sure the wives appreciate expensive gifts. I'm pretty sure the children appreciate the gifts. But more important than the gift is you spending quality time with your family. You know, some people, oh, man, you know, I'll just buy off my wife and I'll just buy off my children. You know, instead of spending time with, here's a PlayStation 5. It didn't even come out yet. We're exclusive. Spend time with them. Provide for their emotional needs. Part of the joy of marriage is the joy of talking to your spouse. You remember when you were dating? Katie? Brother Anthony, they're sitting over there eating unhealthy food. Taco Bell. I'm thinking, man, that's Taco Bell. That's good stuff. Beans are good for your heart, you know. And I'll stop there because I'm a youth pastor and I can be bad. They're sitting over there Google-eyeing, smiling. Love it. They sit there and talk. And sometimes they just talk silently. It's like when you're courting and you're dating, you have this power where you can speak to each other without even opening your mouth. You can just beep, 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 back and forth. That's just how it is. I was like that when I dated too. Too bad. That's just how it is. But you remember that emotional, when you dated, you did all that stuff. And then now that you're married, got her, put her in the freezer. You know, provide the emotional needs for your family. Number five, I got 15 minutes. The husband is to provide rules for the home. The husband is to provide rules for the home. I love Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Just a couple chapters down in Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. The father is to lay down the rules and boundaries for the family. Do you have rules and boundaries for your family? Dad, you make those rules. You know, just because I allow my children to do something doesn't mean you should allow them to do that same thing. My wife asked me about a video. Can the kids watch this video? I said, nah, let's not watch that. I don't think it was even bad. But I didn't want my children to watch that video. No. You know, she don't, well, I think it's okay here. Support your husband, ladies. When you do that, guess what you're teaching your daughter to do? I told you I'll preach again to the husbands, but you're teaching your husbands, your children to do the same thing to their husband, to buck authority. Lay down some rules. What are the rules? Write it down. Okay, here's some rules that I have. No sleepovers. Now, you don't have to have those rules. This is some of my family rules, okay? We don't do that. If they're not family, we don't do that, okay? I don't let my children go sleep at other people's house. And, you know, if you invite them and they don't, just know right now I won't let them, so I'm sorry. It's not that you're a bad person, my kid's a bad person, and they're going to mess your kids up. All right? That's just how it works. All right? So those are some rules. Some rules. I am very careful of who my children go with. You say, oh, you won't let them go with me because I'm bad. No, it's not that at all. I don't trust my kid. I'm very careful. Those are some rules. I mean, I have a bunch of rules that we go over. My wife and I, we talk about it, but have rules. Set some guidelines at your house. Number six, the husband is to have an honest profession. The husband is to have an honest profession. I talked to somebody recently. I said, man, what did you used to do before you came to church? Man, I used to sell drugs. I said, he said, if I continue selling drugs, the tithes would be good. I said, brother, just don't tell me. No, I'm kidding. Have an honest profession. Amen. Husband shouldn't be working at a bar. Shouldn't be working for a brewery. Shouldn't be working for a casino. Say they pay good money. Shouldn't be working for it. Shouldn't be serving alcohol. Wow. All right. Going on. Titus chapter 3:14, the Bible says this. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. In the Greek there, the phrase good work means honest trade. You say, how do you know? I just looked it up. I don't know Greek. A husband should not work for a brewery. A husband should not work for a bar. A husband should not do anything that is illegal to gain income. Have an honest profession. Number seven, a husband should be upright and orderly. A husband should be upright and orderly. 1 Timothy 3, verse 6 to 7. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest they fall into a reproach and a snare of the devil. Number eight, we're almost done here. Got about 10 minutes here. We'll be on time. The husband must keep family business, family business. Keep family business, family business. 1 Timothy 3:4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. By the way, keep family secrets, family secrets. Don't go tell it to your girlfriends, ladies. Fellas, don't go tell it to your buddies. Keep family secrets, family secrets. You know, oh, you, man, mama, shh. Quiet. Oh, my husband, my wife and I, that hag, we got into a big fight. That old lady. By the way, let me say this. Be careful what you tell your in-laws. Okay, my wife and I, we get into a fight. It happens often. We get into a fight. And then, you know, I was an idiot. Usually it's me. And I go, oh, hon, I apologize. I was a bum. I shouldn't have slapped you in the face five times. I am so sorry. I used my backhand. It was a little bit harder. I should have used my palm. It's a little bit softer what's that thing called? A phone book. They don't have it anymore in front of your face, so there wouldn't be any marks, but I apologize for the marks. what does she do? She'd go, Mom, guess what happened? They did this and that. And then now my mother-in-law has something against me. But she didn't know, you know, when she came home that day, we made up. Gave her a kiss. And, you know, I was a jerk. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. And we reconciled. Everything got better. And it wasn't even a big deal. But guess what my mother-in-law still thinks? She didn't know that we kissed and made up. Well, that jerk mistreated my daughter. And that thing's always there. That thought is there. By the way, if your husband beats you, go tell somebody. That's fictitious. I'm kidding. But you know, keep family business, family business. Don't air out your laundry. If you need to get counsel from the pastor, go get counsel. It's okay. You know, sometimes here's the other side of the coin. Man, we're just not gonna get help. We have these family problems. No, get help. But get the right help. Don't just go tell people about your problems. Go and get the right help. Go to the pastor. Go to the spiritual leader that can help you, not your buddy that, oh, they go, man, when they see you, I can't believe that lady. There's always two sides to the story, by the way. Number nine, lead by following. lead by following. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. In God's chain of command, everyone is in that chain of command. Everyone has a leader, and everyone is a follower. You become a great leader by becoming a great follower. Your wife will respect you if you are submitting to the authorities above you, husband. If you come and always criticize your boss, guess what you're teaching your husband? It's okay to criticize the authority. Your wife will respect you immensely if you just submit to the authorities. If you are not submissive to your leaders, the people that are under you will not submit to you. Be teachable and be willing to learn, husbands. You come from a hard day's of work and you complain. Don't complain about the boss. God has placed him there for you. If you don't like it, go make a wise appeal or get another job. This is how it is. I had a guy, he always complained about his boss. My boss did this, my boss did that, man. And I told him, I said, dude, excuse me, I'm not supposed to use that word. Sir, you have one of two choices, man. You quit, or you learn just to shut your mouth. He thought I was going to come, yeah, I never go against authority, even if the authority is wrong. I always try to tell people, you know what, let's try to work this out. In the back of my mind, I'll say, man, this guy's a jerk. But, you know, I'm not going to say that out loud to the person because I want them to respect and submit to authority, even if the authority they feel has hurt them. Number 10, keep wickedness out of the home. Keep wickedness out of the home. It is the responsibility of the husband to keep the world out of your home. Be careful where you go. Be careful where you go. Be careful where you go. It's your job, husband, to protect your children and your wife. It's your job to keep sin away and sin out of the home. See, you might not understand that child might see something real fast and it can destroy their life forever. Keep wickedness out of the home. But you know what? Don't just sit there and watch wicked TV. Most of the TV shows out there are garbage. We sit there and laugh at sin. You know, George Lopez shouldn't be parenting your children. I don't know if that's still a hot show. You know, back in my day, the big family movie was The Simpsons. And it's a good one. Married with Children. No wonder a culture that dad is represented as some kind of idiot. Keep wickedness out of the home. Number 11, the husband must serve the Lord even if the wife does not. And that's vice versa too. The husband must serve the Lord even if the wife does not. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 14 to 16. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by his wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if ye unbelieving depart, then let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. For what knoweth thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or thou knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Just keep serving the Lord. I talked to somebody recently. And it's sad. You know, so the family is attacked so much. The marriage is attacked so much. And the person is weeping uncontrollably, telling me about their marriage. And, you know, I'm trying to be sensitive, and I want to say, ma'am, this is what I want to say. I didn't say this. I said, ma'am, if your husband doesn't come to church, you should still be coming. I want to say, if you quit nagging him about him coming to church and you just come to church yourself and serve God and be the wife that you'll be, maybe he'll follow your example. Husbands don't like nagging. Okay, going on. I apologize. Number 12. The husband is the head of the family. Ephesians 5:23 there. For the husband is the head of the wife. No, the husband is not better than the wife, My wife is a lot smarter than me. You can say amen, I will not get offended. When she graduated from college, she was summa cum laude. I think that's what she was. When I graduated from college, I was thank you, Lordy. I remember going to the president's office, the vice president's office. I said, sir, am I going to graduate this year? I didn't take all my unit. And I took all my I took all my credits, but I didn't take all my required classes. He said, well, let's look at your required classes. At that time, the Bible college was small enough where you can just walk into the college president's office and just go speak to them. And I was sitting there. He said, well, yeah. You have credits that you didn't take yet. I mean, you got enough credits to graduate, the number part, but the class part. He said, you know what? I'll make this happen for you. I said that. He said, you go pass all your classes? I said, well, Greek is a little bit. He said, you go talk to your Greek teacher. I'm glad I have a merciful Greek teacher. You know, I'm Khmer. I barely speak English, and they want me learning Greek. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, heta, beta, see ya, you know. So I'm sitting there in the Greek professor's office. I said, you know, I need to pass this class in order to graduate. He said, well, let me pull you up here real fast. You're not doing too well. I said, no, sir. I said, I'm horrible in Greek. I said, Greek 1, I did okay. I got a B. Greek 2 is, you know, once you start falling behind, no turning back, no turning. It's one of those things. He said, Nate, you need to get out of here. I said, yes, I do. He said, you come to every single class, and we'll see what happens. I came to every class. They made Greek the first class at 7:30. You know, here I'm working like late hours. I come to Greek class. I'm like, you know, he's speaking, oh, you have to translate the book of John. I don't even know how to read the book of John, let alone translate it to Greek. My wife is a lot smarter than me, but I'm thankful she submits. Sometimes she says, I said, we're not doing that. And sometimes I know she wants to say it, but okay. And sometimes we look back and say, you know, I should have listened to you on that one. Number next, the husband is to love the wife. The husband's to love the wife. Can you guys give me 2 more minutes? Is that all right? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Shanice. The husband is to love the wife. Husbands, love your wife. Loving is not just giving money. Loving is spending time. Loving is just, man, just, I don't know what I'll do without my wife. Husbands, love your wife. Appreciate her. Appreciate your spouse. Number next. The husband is made complete by his wife. My wife knows my weaknesses, and likewise, I know her weaknesses. But we must help each other to strengthen each other. Husbands, don't always, you know, badmouth your wife. Oh, look at this person. Strike 3. That's just straight out strike 3. Don't compare your wife to another girl, another lady. Okay, that's a no-no. That's a no-no, Camrack, when you get married, Brother Edjo, I'm sorry. Brother Savani, apologize for that, kind of. Number 15, we're done. The husband and the wife should have veto power over major decisions. The husband and the wife ought to have veto power over the major decisions. Honey, guess what I did? I bought a brand new truck. And I bought you a microwave. That's a big purchase. Any big financial decision, buying a car, buying a house, buying something expensive, doing something that requires a lot of money, you better make sure you and your wife sit down and look eye to eye and make sure that's the goodest decision. Make sure you pray about it. You know, when you change locations, oh, you know, I'm just going to move to the East Coast and for this job. You better sit down and talk to your wife. Yeah. You're moving her and her away from her family, away from her home church. You better make sure it's God's will. Well, I'm going to go over here. We're going to move here because of a job offer. Let me say this. Never move anywhere because of a job offer. Never change churches because of a job opportunity. Anyways, that was free. Somebody said this. Marriage is 50-50. Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. Well, that's mathematically, you know, impossible. It's okay. Marriage is 100-100. Fellas, men, husbands out there, stand back with me and just say, you know what, I'm going to be the best husband I can be to my wife. I'm going to be the best father I can be to my children. I'm going to nurture them. I'm going to lead them in the way they should go. And when I am old, they should not, when they're old, they should not depart from it. Love your family. By the way, your family is the most important thing other than Jesus Christ here on this earth. You better learn how to be the best husband you can be and learn how to be the best father you can be. Let's pray.